Well, yeehaw, ladies and gentlemen. How are y'all doing? This is your boy, Robert Enos, host of Table Flippers podcast. I almost forgot who I was for a minute. I want to just share with you, tell you a little bit about something. My wife and I was turned on to a series on television. I forget which network puts it out, but nonetheless, it's called The Cowboy Way. And if I remember correctly, looking at it, it was filmed or produced between 2016 and 2020, I believe it was. Nonetheless, doesn't matter. But basically, it's about these three cowboys in Alabama and run a business, Faith Cattle Company, and just following them around, and so you could see what they do as cowboys in Alabama running their own businesses, and they get into other businesses, and they are married, and they have kids, and all this stuff. I'm telling you about this because it's one of those shows that I find so absolutely refreshing, somewhat like what Duck Dynasty used to be when it was on. You know, just get on there. It's funny. It's moving, heart-wrenching at times. It's funny. And you just see these three partners in this program that they work together very beautifully. They have their ups and downs, and of course, like just everybody else. But it's just showing the cowboy life. Now, the reason it touches me so much is because, as a young man, it's filmed there in Alabama. In my last podcast, I told you guys how I was just in Missouri, and it was at a minister's retreat, but it was not too far from the place my mom grew up when she was little, and my grandma was there, and my great grandma, they all passed, but when they were alive, and I remember visiting them there in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, many, many, many years ago. Anyway, so going to Missouri this last week for that retreat was very much in a very real way, although I never lived there. But it was like going home just because of, you know, the foods, the sights, the sounds, and all of that. This is where my mom, my grandma, my granny, my great-grandma, my family on my mom's side all lived. And although most of the ones that at least I knew were gone, I still have some cousins and such there, but I wouldn't know them if I bumped into them. But nonetheless, so it was very much like going home in a very real way. And it was very profound for me in a lot of ways because of just the sights and the sounds and the foods. I remember as a kid growing up on the fried chicken and the fried okra and, you know, the corn and the creamed corns and all of that that we were there eating, and it was like taking me back home. So anyways, back to the show, the Cowboy Way, just watching that in a very real way take me home because of my roots on both my mom and dad's side. Boy, I was really much like a country boy stuck in the city. I didn't think like everybody else. We didn't think like, or our whole family didn't think like everybody else. We didn't certainly eat like everybody, especially when I was young. You know, we just did things a little bit different. Not bad, but different. And so growing up, you know, I was wearing the cowboy boots. Everybody else was wearing OPs and Vans and things like that. And I was wearing cowboy boots, blue jeans, and cowboy hats and things like that all through junior high and high school. Yeah, it was kind of a strange, weird, I don't know if I was in culture shock or I was causing culture shock. Either way. So that was just me. So I started watching this show. And Alabama, you know, it's not Missouri, but in that sense, it's a lot of the cultural things are the same. So I'm watching basically me in a way. When I say that, I'm not on a horse. I'm not a cowboy on a horse. I'm not in the rodeos and things like that, although I was when I was younger. And so it's just very much like in a real way going back home. So it's almost like being with family. So I know this is weird, but you know, the three characters, Cody, Bubba, and Booger, those are the three cowboys in the show. I listen to them and I hear them talk and the way they interact with one another. And it's just like going back home in the sense of when I was a kid, that's the way me and my buddies would interact and work together and such, you know. And it's so on one hand, it's very, very, very refreshing. And on the other hand, it's just kind of heartbreaking because, you know, come on, I live in the city now. life is different. It's not as laid back as there. You know, I don't mind going outdoors, but I live in the desert, not in green Alabama or super green Missouri. So anyways, it's a refreshing show in so many different ways for me personally, but I think for most anybody and everybody that watches. As a matter of fact, a friend at church was the one who turned us on to this and says, man, we've been watching this show. It's really great, you know, and he's really pumped it up. So I'm like, okay, whatever. We watched it and it's like, yeah, I'm hooked. And I'm telling you about this, ladies and gentlemen, because I highly suggest, it's called The Cowboy Way. I forget what channel, because we don't really have like cable TV or anything like that. So we have to watch everything after the fact, you know. So that's fine with us because of our lifestyle and everything. But, you know, so you can look it up, check it out, see what channel and what network it's on and everything. Great show. It's clean. It's funny. It's, you know, you'll connect with these characters in ways that you didn't really think you would. You know, to me, that's what makes a good, at least, series or a movie. You connect with the characters, you know, sometimes in a good way and sometimes in a bad way. And even sometimes the bad way still is a weird connection, kind of like Darth Vader. You know, he's the bad guy, but everybody loved Darth Vader. But he's the bad guy, but everybody connected with him, but he's the bad guy. You know, and then you still have that, also that connection with like Luke Skywalker and things like that. I don't know why I'm talking about Star Wars, but with this one, these guys are just real world, down home, country boys, and it's just fun to be a part of their world, even though I've never met them or anything like that. So it's clean, it's fun, it's a great show, it's a great program. Please check it out, The Cowboy Way, The Cowboy Way, And check it out. And, you know, I'm sure you'll be hooked. I think you'll like it as much as I like it. You know, there's just, again, as I say in many of these podcasts, when I am able to get on here, there's so many things happening and a lot of good things happening. I don't want to just say a lot of bad things. What we tend to do is focus so much on the negative, and we make the negative more real than the positive. And we look for the negative, and we almost cheer the negative. Let me explain, what do I mean? When there's a lot of us in our culture, all around us, and maybe you're one of them, that's like news junkies. You have to see the news. You can't go to bed at night unless you watch the news before you go to sleep, that 11 o'clock news or whatever it is. You can't really get your day going until you read the newspaper, or you're up early drinking your coffee before you go off to work, watching the early morning news. And I'm not saying that the news is bad, of course. Watch the news, whatever. But it's often, not always, but often, we get so hooked on the negative that we can't get away from it. You know, we just can't get away from it. We need more. And that's a huge problem, especially if you're a Christian. Now, Christians, you listen to me. You listen to me good, because this is a huge problem in Christianity in America. Huge problem. You know, and we cloak it in some kind of pseudo-spirituality, and yet we are just as hooked on the negative, even the demonic, than a lot of Christians want to admit to. Let me explain what I mean, Lucy's. So we have this end time, this eschatology, this end time that talks about Antichrist coming. It talks about the one world ruler. It talks about, you know, all of the, you know, the 7-year tribulation, all of these things that are bad, 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 bad. And Christians get so hooked on it that they see that in every news story. If there's a hurricane, oh, look, it's the end times. Antichrist is coming. We might be raptured out of here. Oh, the 7-year tribulation. It's a good thing we'll be raptured out of here before it all hits the fan. You know, and then you'll see something like a war breaks out, especially if it's in the Middle East. Oh, my God, Antichrist is coming. 7-year tribulation. That's the start of it right now, especially if Russia is in any way involved in any kind of skirmish. Oh, my gosh, Og and Magog, they're going to march on Israel. Oh, they're going to go. Oh, just get us out of here, Jesus, before the 7-year tribulation, before Antichrist comes, rapture us. And we get really what it is, it's just spiritualizing fear. It's spiritualizing our bent and our addiction to negativity, to fear, to all those bad things. And it really is. You know, I know each and every one of us have met these people. If you can't think of that person, you're probably that person that every time you're around them, it's always negative, right? Something always is negative. Oh, look, it's a beautiful day. Well, any minute now it could start raining. Yeah, uh-huh. My knee's been bothering me. You know, oh, look, I just got a check in the mail for $1,000. I wasn't expecting this. Oh, yeah, but you know what? They're going to raise your taxes, $10,000. But just put it away. You don't even spend it because you're going to need that. Save it for a rainy day. Rainy day comes along, and then they say, oh, you can't go out there. It's raining. It's just this weird bent on negativity, the weird bent on fear. And really, that kind of, you know, when we talk about seven-year tribulation, we talk about Antichrist, we talk about the rapture, we talk about all of these things, the beast, the 666, all of these things. Oh, my gosh. Can I tell you it's false doctrine? I know a hush just falls off. False doctrine? All of it. And I can prove it with this one statement. The Bible tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of peace, love, and a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So anything that comes out of fear is not of God. And that entire doctrine is bathed in fear. Fear of one thing or another. Fear of this, fear of that, fear of Antichrist, fear of 666, fear of the beast, fear of missing the rapture, that's a huge one. Fear of tribulation, all of that. And every time something negative pops up in the news, it's just triggered. Once again, that word, my wife hates that word, triggered, because it's so overused. Oh, that you just triggered me. You looked at me, so it just triggered me. You said hello, and it triggered me. You know, people overuse that word. It's kind of like the word racist, that term racist. It's way overused, and so it doesn't even have the meaning that it's supposed to have anymore. Same with triggered. You trigger people when you use the word trigger. So I'm triggering a lot of triggered people. Anyways, back to this. So this whole idea of fear, and what's really strange to me as a believer, and I've studied the Word of God, I've studied it, I even took those classes in Bible college and passed them with flying colors. And today I don't even believe that nonsense because I did something actually very, very dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. I read the Bible for myself. I didn't read somebody's book that tells me what they think the Bible says. I read the Bible itself. Now, I've always done that, but I mean purposely read the Bible and looked at these things. And I've realized that what we call the end, okay, there is going to be an end, don't get me wrong, but what we call the end looks nothing. What the Bible teaches us looks nothing compared to what most pastors and a lot of churches teach us. Nothing like it. We're going to have a victorious end, not a run and hide from Antichrist end, not a the only way we can escape death or escape torture is to be raptured kind of end. We're going to have a victorious end, a phenomenal end. All of these things that are blips on the radar is, you know what happens? The Bible also talks about there's life and death in the power of the tongue. A lot of us like to use that to try to teach people or even warn people, be careful what you say because you're in essence inviting in or creating what you're saying. So if you say the same thing over and over and over and over again, you start to manifest, if you will, those things start to manifest in your life. And ladies and gentlemen, there is truth to that. To the person that's always talking negative, they get negativity in their life. It's like the person that's always thinking and speaking about sickness or pain or disease or something like that, they end up getting it. I'm not saying their words actually create the very thing, but what it does, it destroys faith against it. You can't be sitting there going, oh, my back, oh, this, I think I got this, I got this, I got a cancer, I got a diabetes, oh, I got this, my head hurts, my head, and have enough faith to believe God for a healing from those very things that you were giving power to. And at some point, those things will begin to manifest in your life. Just the same way when we start speaking positive, when we look at the positive and we welcome the positive, and we tell people all the time, hey, you have a great day. It's great to see you. Hey, you know, you're looking good today. Hey, and we start speaking those things. Two things happen. Not only do those people want to be around us because we're so encouraging, but those kind, positive words begin to even reflect back onto us, and we feel that way. When I tell people, hey, you have a great day. Hey, it's great to see you. You're looking good today. Hey, how's everything going? Man, you're looking good. You've been in the gym. When I start saying that to other people, I start feeling the positive benefits from it, even though I'm speaking it to somebody else. Now, why am I saying this? Because for approximately 100, a little over 100 years in America, yeah, that's about how long that eschatology has been around, that doom and gloom eschatology. It's only been around about 100, 150 years, ladies and gentlemen. But it's been broadcast so much at fever pitch. It's been broadcast and spoken of and declared from pulpits, on TV, on radio, in pamphlets, in booklets, that and there's death and life in the power of the tongue. We keep saying these things. Now, what's going to end up happening? We are going to start creating a mess for ourselves that God never created, that God's not even in. And so every time we see a blip on the on this news screen, oh, look at that, end time. No, that was your false declaration of death that came out of your tongue over and over and over and over and over and over again. Have you ever been around those people that are just always bitter, always angry, always sour? Call them sour pusses, you know? And they're bitter and they're angry. They don't have anything good to say. And they always got that scowl look on their face. Why? Because they keep saying those bitter things. They keep saying those sour things over and over and again. And it begins to affect their own soul. And that they begin to look like the words that keep coming out of their mouth. There's death and there's life in the power of the tongue. That's Bible. So, ladies and gentlemen, why am I telling you this? Because there's so many great things happening in this world. I mean, so many phenomenal things happening in this world that many of us miss it because we're so focused, not just focused on like looking for the negative, we're speaking the negative. So it begins to blind us to the truly positive. So even when we do see the positive, oh, that's great, but it's not going to... I've had people tell me that Christians who have bought into this end time nonsense, and you know, say, well, look at this great thing that's happening. Oh, yeah, it's not gonna last. It's not gonna last. Enjoy it while you can. It's like right now in the United States of America, we have a president. Whether you like him or not, that's on you. But we have a president that's at least fighting for us. That's clearing the deck for us. That's trying to end corruption for us. That's even making way for the church for us. So he's fighting for us. And I don't know if you've noticed, but even here in California, many of the prices, like such as eggs and food and things like that, are starting to come down. Now, gas isn't because California voters gave Gavin Newsom the ability to raise taxes on gas anytime he wants. So he just keeps them purposely high. But nonetheless, everything else is dropping in price. Even when we were all the way over there in Missouri, gas prices were very low. Very, very, very low. The food was cheaper. It was just everything has been coming down and making it better. We even have people like RFK out there fighting so that our food is much healthier. So things are getting better, ladies and gentlemen. And I've heard actually Christians say this, just enjoy it while you can. It's not going to be like this forever. Or God is just giving this moment in time to get more people saved. And then it's all going to fall apart. I'm like, wow. God is moving on our behalf, doing spectacular things, miraculous things in our day and age, right before our eyes. And many of us can't see it because all we could see is what's going to come, what tomorrow's going to hold. That tornado is going to kill somebody. That hurricane that's going to sweep somebody away. That next war that's going to kill some people. That's all they can see. And so they keep declaring the negativity right in the midst of something profound and positive happening. Well, I say shame on you guys. You Christian teachers and pastors and everything that have been teaching this nonsense, teaching your people to see only the negative. Shame on you. Shame on you. And I dare you. And I'm serious about this. I dare you. You can even write me. Write this down. I'm going to give you a second to get a pen or something like that. If you have a good memory, write this down or try to memorize this. My email, Robert Enos. It's at, here's my email address. It's easy. GWCC Robert. Like one word. The letters GWCC Robert at gmail.com. If you missed it, that's GWCC Robert at gmail.com. Now, why am I telling you this? Because I'm going to challenge all you Christians and pastors out there. I want you to send me chapter and verse where the Bible tells us there will be a 7-year tribulation. Now, I'm going to warn you. I already know the passage that some of you think speaks about it. I'll correct you. I will correct you. So get ready for correction. But yeah, find me 7-year tribulation. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's number one. Okay, and I'll take you to the even the passage or the book, Daniel, I believe it's chapter 2, where Nebuchadnezzar has the dream of the image, you know, the gold, the head of gold, the chest and arms of silver, belly of bronze, and all the way down to the toes, the feet and the toes mixed with iron and clay. So the whole thing. And Daniel tells him, okay, this is the head of gold is you. You're the beginning kingdom. Then there's coming another kingdom. And each one of those metals is a kingdom. Now here's the problem, okay? The division between the iron legs and the feet of mixed iron and clay, many teach that those are two different kingdoms 2,000 years apart, at least 2,000 years. We're still waiting for it in their mind. So at least 2,000 years apart. The iron legs were the is supposed to be and is the Roman Empire, okay? So they add 2,000 years between the legs and the feet, okay? Here's the problem. That's not even mentioned in Scripture. There's no place that even hints at a 2,000-year gap. Many have been, I remember it being taught to us, called the prophetic gap. There is no gap. There is no gap. There was no separation. There was no gap. As a matter of fact, the Bible goes on, that same story goes on to say how a little stone cut out without human hands struck that image at its feet. Remember, the iron and clay mix at its feet and pulverized that entire statue and all of those kingdoms. Okay, that we know the little stone represents Jesus. That happened 2,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. And yet there, it already happened. It already happened. And they're trying to twist scriptures, add to scripture, or take away from scripture to make it sound like it hasn't happened yet and it's going to happen sometime in the future. So they add this quote-unquote prophetic gap in there that's not even mentioned. Now the Bible warns us about adding to or taking away from scripture. It's clear, do not add to or do not take away from scripture. You take it for what it says. And what it says is that Jesus, the stone, pulverized that entire, all those kingdoms that were represented when the Roman Empire was still on the earth 2,000 years ago. We don't have to look for a prophetic gap, something in the future. We don't have to look for it because it's already fulfilled. My point is, and some of you may go, what is he even talking about? You know, this is what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, for those who are saved or unsaved, Christians or non-Christians, okay? And this should actually really scare the non-Christians, but encourage the Christians. The power of God and the presence of God is increasing in the earth more and more and more and more and more. And as that happens, there's a restoration that's coming back to the earth, where God is restoring this earth back to its original design. Now, when I say original design, I'm not talking about all the buildings are going to be destroyed and we're going to be running around naked in the Garden of Eden. That's not what I'm talking about. But what does the Garden of Eden represent? It represents complete and total harmony, first between God and man, and then man and God's creation, where God put man. Everything was in harmony. Everything was in harmony for the sake of mankind, with the animals, with the plants, with the trees, the very dirt under his feet, the rocks, the trees that were growing, everything. It was in perfect harmony. Everything worked just the way God created it. What messed all of it up was sin. So what God is doing is he, with Jesus, dealt with the sin in men's hearts. It doesn't mean everybody accepted that, which for you unbelievers, you don't know Jesus yet, you better accept him, because things are coming where you're going to need Jesus, okay? And I mean, you need Jesus for eternity anyways, but there's things coming into the earth that you're going to need Jesus. So anyway, so because of that, he's already dealt with that in the human heart level, for the most part. More people are going to believe as things go on. But because we have dominion over the earth, ladies and gentlemen, we have dominion over the earth. We're supposed to be stewards of this earth. From this renewed place with God, through the blood of Jesus and the giving of Holy Spirit, we are to take that same renewal that took place in our own hearts and our own lives and now manifest it in the earth realm. So the earth is starting to come back into a place of harmony, true harmony, where everything works the way it's supposed to work, the way God originally designed it. And you say, well, where is that in Scripture? Well, it's all through Scripture. It's woven all through Scripture. But if you look at Acts chapter 3, verses about 19 through about 21-ish, right there, it talks about heaven holds Jesus. Okay, we know that Jesus is in heaven, and we know he's going to come back. We know that. But the how he comes back and how many times he comes back is where a lot of Christians really mess it up. So anyways, back to Acts chapter 3. It says, heaven must hold this Jesus until the restoration of all things. Okay, did you capture that? Until the restoration of all things that were prophesied by God's holy prophets. There are still things that have not been restored, even though the prophets have prophesied it. Some thousand years ago, some even more modern, in our modern time. I know it's really easy when you have a doctrine of fear to brush away everything else that comes against that fear. You know, so a prophet rises up today and starts prophesying how God's going to move in the earth and bring restoration to the earth. And those who are bound by fear go, no, prophets aren't for today. It's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. Okay, so let's just go back from Bible time. There's so many things in the Scriptures that have not been fulfilled. So many things that have not been yet fulfilled. So what we're looking for is the fulfillment of these things, because with every prophetic fulfillment that God brings into the earth is restored that much more. And it sets off kind of a chain reaction event. You see, when Jesus walked the earth, and in Matthew 24, he prophesied the destruction of the temple, which many people put off 2,000 years, like as if it never happened. But it did happen in 70 AD. It was fulfilled. But when it was fulfilled in 70 AD, the destruction of the temple and different things that Jesus prophesied in there, it set off, even though it was a horrible way it was destroyed, terrible way, especially for the Jewish people in Jerusalem at that time. But the chain reaction, those ripple effects, those domino effects that have happened since then, even up to this time, has led to the gospel being spread beyond Jerusalem in a rapid, rapid, rapid way. So the people all over the world, doesn't matter where you go. You could talk about the interior of Africa. You could talk away about as far away as Europe. You could talk away about those that in Asia, even in the Americas, and it didn't come until later, but in the Americas, we owe our salvation and the spread of the gospel that got to us, our salvation, to that point in time when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Why? Because I'm not saying that people didn't spread before, but that really caused the spread of the gospel. Because now the central place of worship for the Jews and the early Jewish believers in Jesus was destroyed. And they were being hunted. They took off running. But they spread the gospel wherever they went. That's just one of the times and one of the areas and one of the ways that the gospel spread that quickly and that fast. So see, while everybody is focused on the very negative, we have to look at all things work together for good. And even though something horrible happens, and it's heart-wrenching, it's heartbreaking, and yes, we need to fight against anything on that level, especially on that level, happening ever again. But when things do happen, what does that mean? God's about to do something profound in the earth. You know, when we look at the atrocities of Nazi Germany, especially against the Jewish people, 6 million Jews killed, slaughtered. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Yes, we should fight against that But even when those things happen, one of the things, as the good things that have taken place because of that, and listen, I am not trying to justify what the Nazis did at all. I'm not justifying what the Nazis did at all. But what did that ultimately open the door to? Because the Jewish people had nowhere to go. They were driven from their homes, families decimated, the businesses, everything, their whole lives decimated. Where could they go? Well, there was a little plot of land called Israel that was opened back up to them, and they can go back to their homeland. That was just one, not the only good thing that came out of that, but one of the good things. And now, what else, what other good thing came out of it? Well, just that mindset that the Jewish people have in their own mind, never again. Never again were we going to let something like that happen to us and to our people. Never again. They have established themselves. Now, whether you like it or not, whether you think it's good or bad, they have established themselves financially. They've established themselves in strength. They've established themselves in their own land. And they're building and they're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And truly, never again. So it was horrible. World War II and what took place with the Jewish people was horrible. Horrible. Should never be allowed. But God doesn't miss a thing. God doesn't miss a thing. Whether it be in your own personal life or in on an international level or a historical level, he's not going to miss a thing. He uses everything ultimately for the good. And you say, well, why didn't God just stop it? Listen, we have a great God, but he would have violated his own word if he did that. And what I mean by that is in Genesis chapter 3 and then other places in the Bible, it's reiterated that we have dominion of the earth. So that means you and I, ladies and gentlemen, are supposed to stop these things. You and I are supposed to, in a sense, create a better world. You and I are supposed to stop the Hitlers and the Nazis, whether they call them, you know, I wasn't alive back then, but you understand what I'm saying. We are supposed to operate in our God-given authority and dominion power and stop these things. And when Christians really get out of that fear mode, we can do extraordinary things, which has been proven over and over and over again. The mere fact that the United States of America is a nation and has been the wealthiest and strongest nation on the planet for some 200 plus years is proof that when Christians put their hearts to it, Christians bind together, and Christians get out of fear mode, we can do some powerful, profound things. So what would happen if we actually all got on the same board, all started really connecting ourselves together, all started really moving as one man what we could do to this earth in just a year's time? It's unfathomable. It's unthinkable. It's you know, sky's the limit, as they would say. There's no end to what we could do. So why aren't we doing it? Because there are too many of us in division, and too many of us given over to fear. You can't do these kind of things if you're given to fear. That's why. Think about this. I want you to think about this, ladies. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to say all, but some extremely bloody, bloody wars that have been fought in the last 150 years, all came after the modern eschatology as taught in most churches came out. Think about that. World War I, World War II, Vietnam, and all of these things had come. And I'm not saying it was only because of this doctrine being manifest and talked about, but I believe it was a good portion of it, because that fear and those words of destruction being released over and over and over and over again created an atmosphere in this world for such people like Hitler to rise up. And what did most Christians go? Oh, well, you know, he might be the Antichrist. He might be the beast. Oh, my gosh, get ready. Jesus is coming back. And then that turned out wrong. And then the next one. I remember people saying Saddam Hussein. Oh, he's the Antichrist. I remember people saying that when Bill Clinton was president, oh, he must be the Antichrist. Well, you know, because he's very eloquent. He's going to fool everybody. And then that didn't pan out. Then Obama. Oh, Obama. He's the Antichrist. And now people are saying Trump's the Antichrist. Oh, none of them are Antichrist. I'm not saying they're not Antichrist-like in many ways. They're not the Antichrist. That's just God. But fear will do that to you. Fear will blind you to truth. Fear will fool you into believing things that, you know, are there that aren't there. Fear will put you in a place where you can't see clearly, understand clearly, think clearly, move clearly. And so many Christians grab hold of that kind of fear and then spiritualize it as if it's truth and it's gospel. And it's not. It's a profound lie. So like I said, please, Christians, pastors, anybody can take me up on this. Try to find, prove to me that there's a 7-year tribulation. The word tribulation, yes, spoken about in the Bible, various places at various times. But give me that 7-year tribulation. And I'm just going to make this easy. And find me that 2,000-year-plus prophetic gap between the legs of iron, which is the Roman Empire, and the feet of iron and clay, the revised Roman Empire. I'm just going to warn you, you can't. But nonetheless, it's okay. Try, please. Because, hey, you know what? There's a slight, minuscule chance that I could be wrong. I doubt it, though. But anyways, so do it. My email again is gwccrobert, like one word, gwccrobert@gmail.com. Email me and bounce that off of me. Show me the scripture. Show me the passages. But again, I'm going to correct you. I'm already warning you. I'm just warning you. A lot of you, I don't want to get into an argument with them. It won't be an argument. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'll show you the truth. Anyways, so with that, I had this article all pulled up that I was going to share. I wanted to talk to you about this, but you know what? I went on long enough. You guys are awesome, and I appreciate you tuning in. God bless you all, and get ready for this. You guys watch. A lot of great things. And here in America, they're already manifesting, but it's going to manifest all over the world, and it's picking up steam more and more and more and more and more. And we're going to be a part of it. You and I, all of us are going to be a part of it. But Christians, get used to winning. Stop focusing on losing and stop hoping for a loss just to justify some failed doctrine. Let's start winning and let's get used to winning. Because I like winning better than losing. Because you guys know what second place is? First losers. I don't want to be in second place. I don't want to be in third place. I don't want to be in fourth place. I want to be number one. And in Christ, you and I have that ability to be number one in everything good, everything righteous, everything holy. So God bless you all. And I hope that you guys jump into this. But put away the books. Put away all the videos, okay, the Left Behind videos and things like this. And get into just what the Bible says. You'll find something much different. God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us at Table Flippers. Table Flippers Podcast is a ministry of Greater Works Christian Church in Lancaster, California. You can find us on the web. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. Look for us at Greater Works Christian Church or Table Flippers. I hope to see you soon.